Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. This may be the same start to a homily that I've given recently. I have no idea. Everything feels familiar and strange right now. I don't really know what I've done recently. But in case I haven't told you, I'm in a priest group with a number of other priests, and we discuss what's going on in our lives. And one of the questions that always gets asked that we have to answer every time is, how are you praying? How is prayer going? And my answer recently was, I have no idea. I genuinely have no idea. I've been faithful to it, but summer is always the worst for me, and it's nothing but static up here. I have mommy brain without having ever given birth, and I just don't know basically what's going on. And I go to the chapel and I sit there, as my spiritual director once told me, if you can't pray, at least just go sit in the chapel. And I sit there and I can think about Mars or about the history of video games or about ancient Chinese novels just fine, but it's like every 30 minutes I remember to address God, right? But I trust that he's not upset by that, but I certainly haven't heard anything from him for months, and that's okay. And I was thinking about that because of the readings today and because of something that I hear a lot as a priest. So, Father, God feels so distant. Father, I can't hear God's voice. Especially when we most want to hear God's voice, it seems that we can't. And there are several reasons for that. And the readings today show them to us. So I wanted to kind of break that down and go into that. But first, let me say that the most common reason we don't hear God's voice is because of sin, especially mortal sin. Right? So if we're in a state of mortal sin, our relationship with God is broken. I've heard people come to me like, Father, since that, I murdered 15 people and I just don't feel close to God anymore. Duh, okay. That's the way it works, Shaq. But outside of that, we have somebody like Elijah in the first reading. And we get just a very small snippet of this whole huge story here. So I want to share with you the context because it makes this story make a lot more sense. It's not just about fireworks. So Elijah is perhaps the holiest person in the Old Testament. It's debatable, but he's definitely exalted by the scriptures as up there. And he had a mission. And his mission was that he was to be a prophet in the northern kingdom in Israel at a time when the king, influenced by his queen, King Ahab, influenced by Jezebel, was pushing Israel to abandon the worship of God. Or at least, and probably more accurate, bring in other gods alongside the God they already worshipped. And the major one that they were worshiping, and you may be familiar with this name, we hear it a lot in scripture, is Baal. And I think I've told you before, the reason they were tempted to worship Baal is because the Jews had moved from being a nomadic people to an agricultural people, and Baal was the Canaanite god of rain, seasonal drought, that sort of stuff. They said, well, we need to make money, we need to have good harvests, and it's nice that Yahweh led us out of Egypt, but we need that cash money, yo. And so they prayed to Baal so that they would get rain. And the whole nation seemed to kind of fall into this. And Elijah feels numerous times like he's the only one left who worships God alone. That's never strictly accurate, but he feels very abandoned. And shortly before this, he had a showdown with 450 prophets of Baal, and he beat them, and then he killed them. And therefore, the queen of Israel, Jezebel, wanted his life, and so Elijah fled and fled and fled and fled. He was being hunted. And finally, he gets exhausted and he collapses under a broom tree. He feels just absolutely defeated. And he literally tells God, kill me now. Just, I'm done. Like, there's nobody who's listening to me. I try to do the best I can and it blows up in my face. Where even are you? Just kill me now. And in his depression, he falls asleep. And an angel awakens him, and this is not an exaggeration, literally gives him a cup of water and a pancake. Okay, that is what he eats. And then he falls back asleep. And then he wakes, and it says, strengthened by that food, Elijah walked 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb, which is where we start today. Okay? So you followed all of that. This is where Elijah is. Elijah is distraught. He's depressed. He's rejected. His life is being sought. It's a tough time. And he comes to Mount Horeb. Now you know Horeb by another name, a much more familiar name. Horeb is the other name for Mount Sinai. And so Elijah has literally walked all the way out of his country back to Egypt, into the Egyptian desert, to go back to where it all began, where the burning bush was, where God descended in the pillar of fire, where the Ten Commandments, the whole covenant was given. Elijah is looking for something. Let me understand. For us, it would be like if our faith was shattered and as a last-ditch attempt, we took a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. That's what's going on with Elijah right now. And that's what we need to understand when we understand how shattering and hurtful and painful these events are. Because a strong and heavy wind rends the mountains, but the Lord was not in the wind. And an earthquake shook the mountain, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And a fire came down upon the mountain, and the Lord was not in the fire. Now, why is this a problem? Because those three things were explicitly the sign of God's presence in Exodus. It's the same miracles. Elijah is seeing the same miraculous manifestations on Mount Sinai that Moses saw, but this time God isn't in any of them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that when your faith is shattered, when you're utterly depressed, you see the same miracles that happened at the beginning of your religion, and God is not present in any of them? That's where Elijah was. And then we hear a still small voice, a whisper. Not the reassurance Elijah was looking for, not the thundering power of the Almighty, not the sign that God will conquer, but in the midst of his depression and darkness, he only gets a whisper. And he covers his face and goes to the mouth of the cave. Now, the interesting thing about this is that this is where the higher-ups in the Vatican decide to cut off the reading. This is not where the scene ends. Because immediately, Elijah starts laying into God. He's just screaming at God. Like, how could you do this to me? I'm the only one left, etc. And the Lord just says, you're not. There is a remnant of faithful people that you don't know, and I'm sending you back to them. But Lord, they're going to kill me. I'm sending you back to them. And so let's look at what this says for us. There are times in our life when God first manifests himself in fireworks. When many of us have had experiences where it's a beautiful mass or a beautiful homily or a beautiful spiritual experience or a retreat or something, and all the signs are there and our heart is awakened and we know God sometimes for the first time. And that is the thing that sets the rest of our life. And then we come to a period where we're depressed, where we're exhausted, where we're tired, where we're grieving, where we're betrayed, and we're begging God for something like that when we need it most. And we get nothing. Maybe a pancake. Worst of all the places where we used to find him, praise and worship music maybe going to a monastery, maybe praying the rosary, all the places we used to find him, he seems absent. Why? Well, if you walk into a room and it is dimly lit, one of two things are happening, okay? One of two possible things are happening. Either there's not a lot of light there, or there's plenty of light and your eyes messed up. Okay. Both of these can happen. Either of them can happen, and both of them can happen when we're talking about our feelings of closeness to God. The reason I'm not freaking out right now is because I know every summer my eye gets messed up. Okay, that's just flat out it, right? I get depressed, I get anxious, I get very sick, I don't sleep, I'm a zombie the whole 3 months or in Louisiana, all 8 months of summer. And the reality is, God could be speaking to me clear as day and it's not going to register because of the mess that's going on here. But our relationship is still the same. I mean, nothing's changed about that. I haven't been sinning against him gravely that I know of. I haven't, you know, done any of that. It's just I can't hear him right now because I'm such a mess inside. And that's normal. And people need to hear that that's normal. That sometimes you're just stressed. Sometimes you're just grieving. Sometimes you're just depressed. And sometimes, frankly, you're just tired. And when we're overwhelmed inside, we can't hear anything coming from without. On the other hand, sometimes God is quiet. That's for a number of reasons. The first one I'm going to talk about right here in connection with this reading from Elijah and maybe what's going on is, and this is everybody's favorite word today, how many of you have heard the term overstimulated? Raise your hand. Right. Elijah was overstimulated. And when people are overstimulated, God's not going to come in with violence and make them more stimulated. Right? That would do harm rather than help. So he's going to whisper. He's going to whisper. And that's a good thing. He doesn't want us to keep pushing ourselves harder and harder and harder and harder toward the things that used to work. He wants us to understand that maybe we're strung out and we just need to receive him in a different way. But then there's another set of things that happens with hearing God's voice and mistaking God's voice. And that all comes from the gospel today. So let's break down the gospel today in a similar kind of way. Jesus is praying, the disciples leave. And don't forget that a solid number of the disciples were fishermen. They're in a boat and they see a bad storm come up. This is not bad storm like the way that we're sitting in our cozy house and there's some hard rain against the window. This is bad storm in the sense we have seen people die from these things all the time. That's what the fishermen are thinking. And Jesus comes walking over the waves. Now, I want you to really picture this, because we've seen too many paintings of this where Jesus is well lit and, you know, everything's kind of nice and there are like three raindrops over here. Think about being outside in the middle of a hurricane and you see a shadowy figure walking 100 yards away through the squall. On top of the sea. Of course they're terrified. Of course they're terrified. They're already terrified by the storm, and then they see somebody walking on top of the waves, which again, we're not like this, you know, but we're like this. And Jesus cries out to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." I don't know if that helps things, Lord. There's a huge thunderstorm, and you're out here just skipping along the surface of the sea. I don't know that that helps. And let me say this. Sometimes we hear God's voice. God is speaking to us clearly. We're in a place to hear it. But the thing that he asks of us is scary. Not violent. Not illogical. But certainly, let's use another one of these pop phrases, certainly outside of our comfort zone. He challenges us. It's terrifying. And so we convince ourselves that it's not the voice of God. Especially when he says, "You who are already terrified being in the boat in the middle of the storm, I dare you to get out of it and walk on the surface of the sea. And again, it's the person who probably knows exactly how dangerous it is that does this. It's the person who's learned to most trust his ship who does this. It's the person, and I love the irony of this, it's the person whom Jesus literally called rock who trusts that he won't sink. And we think about the fact that he does sink at the end, and a lot of people really focus on that, but let's deal with the fact that Peter walked on water. Jesus called and Peter did the impossible. He left everything safe behind and he started climbing up waves and going down the other side as rain was beating in his face, as wind was pushing him around, and as lightning was striking on the horizon. He walked out to the one whom he first thought was a ghost. And then when he faltered, Jesus caught him immediately. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't hear the voice of God because we hear the voice of God just fine, we just don't like what it's saying. And we have to have the trust of Peter to step out into uncertainty and believe that we can walk on water if it's what he's calling us to. And so today I want you to think through that, pray about it. Are you hearing the voice of God just fine? Well, bully for you. No, I'm just kidding. Are you hearing the voice of God just fine? Great. These moments come in our life and that's spectacular. But if you're not, is it because you're in sin? Is it because you're exhausted? Is it because God is deliberately being quiet? He's a subtle God. He's a hidden God, Isaiah says. He's not normally very loud or flashing. Or is it because he's calling you to something that you don't want to hear? Because you like your boat just fine. And you'd rather not walk on water. God bless you all.